Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I'm still
voiceless presentation of tonight's show, Off the Rack. I'm your host, Rack and Tour. And that was The Words You Cannot Say with the melody You Can't Forget, written by Hatter. And the music was written by another poet that I just heard her name a few minutes ago, and I still can't remember it. And I apologize because I'm actually enamored with it. I've got Deborah Lee on the line as well, if you want to chime in and kind of talk over me because I forgot her name.
That's okay. It's Shout Even Shy, and she wrote the music, and she is actually the singer as well.
Yeah, she did a wonderful job with that. I guess, you know, I always dream of someone reading something that I wrote and decided that they want to put it to music. That's really awesome. You know, we've had a couple of poets favor us with things like that. Titus does that sometimes. If he reads something that he likes of yours, he'll actually record it for you. He's got an amazing voice. But A Team of Voices is a group of people. We're here on allpoetry.com, which is one of the largest the largest poetry website on the internet. It's hosted by Kevin. You could find us there. That's where we post the links to the words that you're going to hear tonight. And where a lot of the poets hang out and share everything. Deborah Lee is the founder of the group. If you look up the group Team of Voices, it's free to join. and you can see and interact with some of us if you like. You know, we're not shy. we tend to be very effusive and talk. Like tonight, the idea was supposed to be a quote that kind of intrigued me. I've got a warped mind, I like to think, anyway. Depending on how well you know me, you might agree, you might not agree, I don't know. But the quote was something, oh God, I'm trying to do this from memory and not read because I can't read very well. Comedy, yeah.
The quote is amazing.
What was it, Life?
And it's by Walpole. And the quote is, "The world is a comedy to those that think, a tragedy to those that feel."
Yeah, that thought, that duality, really set my mind spinning in 12 different directions at the same time. The first thing, you know, I'm very, I won't say confrontational, but you know, it's like I want to say, why do they have to be two separate things? Why can't you think and feel, you know? But you know, at the same time, it brings about that thought of perspective and point of view, and how someone can look at something and laugh at it while someone else looks at it and shakes their head and feels, you know, moved by it. And you know, again, like I said, to me, I can't really separate the two of them. I tend to be a more emotional person. Point that I've been accused of being a woman, but that's, you know, another story, another show. Got a couple of. Go ahead.
No, I said, yeah, you said that for another show, and I said, yeah, I'd say.
Well, you know, it's a tangent of a thought, and I won't say famous for my tangents, but, you know, if you ask me what I think I was known for, that'd probably be one of the things I'm good at, is taking things off on a tangent. That and screwing around and making corny jokes, but we'll try and stay serious and do some read some wonderful poetry. We've got some amazing poets on the site, and we're fortunate enough to have a lot of them that tend to contribute on a daily basis, or a weekly basis, or a monthly basis, you know, occasional basis. They show up, and you know, they're some really talented folks, including Deborah Lee, who's hiding out in the background answering the phones for me and making it so that I can actually do this for you guys, because like I mentioned earlier, I don't see too well. So when it comes to trying to quote things from memory and not being able to look back and read them, I have a hard time sometimes. But, you know, usually my mouth keeps going anyway. It's back in the day, you know, if you I don't know. I guess the millennials aren't old enough to know what the joke about, you know, you were vaccinated with a phonograph needle. Then you got vaccinated today, didn't you, Deb?
I did, yes. Second COVID.
Yeah, damn COVID. I swear, that totally screwed up everyone's lives, you know. When they're in face-to-face and things like that, I've got friends, you know, we go out to dinner all the time and whatnot, or we used to anyway, but now they want to do, you know, for social distancing, they want to go out and eat in tents and things like that. But, you know, my problem with something like that is, you know, unless they've got, like, mosquito netting or something, you get eaten up, tore up by the mosquitoes out here in Jersey anyway. And that's the Florida state bird, the mosquito, or is it the Jersey state bird? I don't remember. Anyway, it's one of those. Well, unless you've got any stories you want to into about comedy and tragedy, I guess is the main focus of that quote in my mind. You know, like I said, you know, some people look at a situation and you know, it's I guess a variation of a coping mechanism as well. And you know, we're by no means psychologists or anything like that here, so you know, don't take it like professional advice. But you know, people, for me anyway, I like to write, and that helps me cope with things. And some people hide behind laughter. That's another coping mechanism that I'm somewhat familiar with. So I like to laugh at things, I won't say inappropriately. I tend to be somewhat sensitive to that. You know, I try and make sure that you laugh at the right times, but, you know, you can't always be on point with that. Anyway,
yeah, well, you always try to laugh with, not at. There's a big difference.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, there's certain things that you definitely try and follow, at least in my brain, you know, to be acceptable. There's a line you don't cross, you know, things that are acceptable and unacceptable, familiarity with people or pretending to be familiar and things like that, you know. You can't run around doing stupid things like that and just, you know, making assumptions, you know, even when you know someone, because someone else might misinterpret it, you know, the appearance of impropriety, as they say, you know, you don't ever want to do that if you can avoid it. But yeah. And the whole laughing at people, you know, being politically correct, you know, that's a sore point for a lot of people. You know, the words that people use and the ideas behind some of the things like that, you know, when you fake swear, you know, who are you really fooling? Because everyone knows the word that you're trying to say. So, you know, it's like sometimes you say the word and people know that you don't throw the word around lightly. They take it to mean more, but some people that use it every day in, you know, casual conversation, it usually doesn't carry as much weight, so that has nothing to do with tonight's topic, but I guess we'll meander all the way around. Go ahead.
So let me tell you that we have been joined by AP from down in Oz, and something tells me he might just be on a quick break, so you want to say hello?
If it's the Wizard of Oz himself, yes, sir. Hello, hello.
Hello, Rack. Hello, Rack. Hello, Deb. How are you both?
Hey.
We're doing pretty good, I think. Especially now that we have the pleasure of your company, even if it is for a short period of time.
It just depends. I have my computer being fixed by the, you know, by the computer people, and so they might interrupt. But apart from that, I'm okay. Scarily enough. So I'm on a day where I don't have 10 meetings, so it's always a positive thing.
And rare lately.
Yeah, the first step is shut up and reboot.
Oh, I tell you. No. My computer's been – I've been getting all sorts of trouble with my dial-ins because I work with different businesses and my poor computer doesn't know whether it's going left, sideways, or rightwards, and it – keeps on choosing the wrong thing and getting confused. So there you go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, that was my bread and butter for a long time. I'm a computer nerd.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I did everything from taking them apart to doing the phone support. So. I had some strange experiences. You know, it helps, but you know, if you can't see, you're missing a lot of visual cues. The whole boot sequence, the number of beeps actually makes a difference sometimes if you count. You can look those things up and things like that. But when it's a fully functional machine, or it worked yesterday, you know, and you know, trying to track down what it is that changed is really, really annoying because, you know, the symptoms are almost subjective. You know, if you don't realize that, you know, well, when I open it up in this browser, well, let me try opening it up in another browser because some of them interact differently with the JavaScript and things like that and the code. So you have to understand the whole process of what you're trying to do to figure out and successfully track back what the problem is. Otherwise, you can be at it for days and weeks. It can be really a very annoying thing.
No, well, that's exactly right. I didn't realize you were an old techo at heart, Rack. So that's interesting. Right?
Yeah. So. Yeah, I dabbled in programming even, so I've been all over.
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. My friend, when you fill out a resume, what languages do you speak? He'd be like Russian, English, C++, COBOL, JCL.
Oh, wow. I'm almost inclined to give you a very old poem then.
I'll be my guest.
Almost inclined to give you a very old poem.
I date back to DOS when Windows actually ran on DOS and wasn't a separate application.
Oh, good Lord. Okay. Well, look, I'm going to give you a quick poem, and then I do have to run. So,
all right.
Here we go. And I may be able to phone back because the techo has finished my computer, I think. So here we go. This is just for you, Rack. This is years BG before Google, and goes a little bit like this. So Yahoo, if there was not Crawler and Veronica, was our date once. For early search engine maulers, as if you misspelled, left a dunce. The world before Google ordered, you had to wait until leave to enter. None of this type search forward, as was about command center. Until followed Lycos to look smart, then the buzz of a new tool excites. Alta changed my Vista by its part, until Hotbot and Inktomi by right. Then in 1997, Google did appear, and pretty soon it cleared space. A simple, elegant choice did sear. I still keep Firefox memory trace. End poem. True story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember most of those browsers. Dogpile was another one, too. Alta Vista, I think, was my favorite before Google came along, and I don't know why people didn't embrace that one. I mean, they do what they're supposed to do. Yahoo really ticked me off, really annoyed me with his advertising.
Yeah, no, I agree.
But, you know, yeah, that's wonderful. A lot of little inside jokes about the search engines.
Yes, completely. That was my whole idea there. It was just inside jokes. So I am going to disappear, Rack, but I might be back. So fingers crossed.
You're more than welcome to join us anytime, AP. We appreciate your company.
Okay,
thanks for taking the time to hang out.
Okay, well, my computer's ready, so if it's ready and working, I will call back.
Cool.
All righty.
Okay, we'll talk soon, I think.
Thank you. Cheers.
Okay, bye.
They tell you it's ready, and then you sit down, and you can't replicate the problem. there was
right.
A joke that went around. Airlines used to make reports and leave them for the mechanics to work on, you know, the planes, you know, and you know, the pilot would say something like, you know, every time I hit 50,000 feet, the plane does this, and the mechanic would reply something along the lines of, cannot replicate problem on the ground. You know, I mean, simple little, but logical. You know, it's like you think about it. You're complaining about something that's happening in midair, and you want someone to try and troubleshoot it. It's like, okay, how am I gonna figure this one out? So many things like that are out there. There's entire websites about I hate you autocorrect, and that could be another show entirely as well. Right, Doug?
Yes, correct.
Let's
I thought. I was like, who the hell is Doug?
I don't understand. I mean, I know I speak with an accent once in a while, and there are times when I take my time and I pay attention and enunciate, especially because, you know, I know that, you know, not everyone's going to be able to follow. Or I also tend to know that when I get excited, I speak fast. So I'll slow down and when autocorrect does things like that, I'm like, seriously, where do you get Doug? Deb does not sound like Doug. I'm sorry. Anyway, and then I really love playing with the homonyms, because then you just scream louder. You know, Doug, it's putting D-U-G instead of D-O-U-G or whatever. So rather than just typing a letter O, you scream louder, Doug. It's like when you're talking to someone with an accent, you just repeat it louder. That's going to make them understand, right? Oh, man.
Or you're talking to one of them Siri things or whatever, and you ask something and it does it, but it's not the right one, and you ask again, and then you break down and you curse at it, and it says, I won't respond when spoken to like that. I'm like, what?
I like looking for the Easter eggs, and then I confuse Siri and Alexa, so I never know which one I'm talking to. One of them, no, if you tell it, I see a little silhouette of a man, it sings Queen, and the other one doesn't know what that is and comes back with some stupid response about, you know, Freddie Mercury, I can't do Freddie Mercury justice or something like that. It's really funny. But they call those Easter eggs, and usually if you look up whichever assistant you have, each one has their own little ones, including the Google one, and what there's another one. Google has one. Oh gosh,
my laptop says Cortana.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's the Microsoft one, right, yeah. I mean, it's interesting, and you know, to me, that kind of speaks to the prompt. If you want to talk about, you know, someone that thinks, you know, that's what makes life such a comedy. You know, people get dependent on stuff like that. You know, I imagine that the intention is not just to simplify people's lives. People like me, I used to be able to, you know, type even with my thumbs at a fairly quick pace. Now forget it. I can't keep up at all. And if anything takes over the microphone, which, you know, the phone would, or, you know, any other interface, I lose the ability to do the speech to text, I become even more literally crippled. You know, it's hard to respond. You know, someone will say something, and if you're a smartass, you know, your timing is half the joke. So 20 minutes later, it's not funny. So if I have to try and type it out, it's like, oh, I missed that opportunity. But, you know, que sera, sera.
Yeah.
The search engines can be annoying. I like to rename mine. I don't know which one is on my phone, but I tell it stupid phone now. So when I say stupid phone, that's when it perks up. It does the ding and it starts listening.
Stupid phone.
Yeah, you know, I wanted to do something clever, you know. It's like, hey, you didn't work. You know, that was too casual English. So I was like, stupid phone. And bink. And stupid phone, call Deborah Lee. And do. Anyway, let's I don't know how many minutes in. We're probably over 20 minutes in. Let's
ooh,
read an actual poem.
21.
Well, yeah, I told you. I could run my mouth. anyway.
Well, you had a poem in there, too. You're good.
Yeah. We were kind of about the poetry. You know, it's funny, too. Sometimes when we do the commenting, sometimes we tend to forget and speak more to the emotion than the actual poem itself, you know, which is why it's always nice to go back and leave someone a written comment when they have a poem that you've heard and appreciate, to let them know what it is about the poem that you liked. You know, telling someone it was a beautiful poem is a lovely sentiment. But when you just say beautiful poem, you know, sometimes the person's going to sit there and go, what did you find beautiful about it? I mean, help me out. I want to replicate the phenomenon, you know. People can comment in generic ways, and, you know, it's not that it's not appreciated. It's just, you know, not as helpful as it could be, I guess, in some instances. So anyway, that's why sometimes it takes me a while to come back to someone, you know, after I've heard a poem, especially when I've heard it on the air and they've taken the time to come in on mine. I'll go back and I'll try and read it. You know, I'll definitely reread it and leave a coherent comment rather than a generic, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Anyway, maybe we could put up.
I was just going to tell you that AP is back. And what poem would you like me to put up? They got you all fixed up, AP?
I now have a working iPad for my one job number one. And then for job 2, 3, 4, and 5, I have my separate Microsoft laptop. So the two stay separate.
Awesome.
Much better.
Yeah, they don't play well when you try and I want to say that the VPN is very different.
they don't. They it's like they want different sand pits, right? It's like they want different granules of sand or whatever. Yeah. So it's just easier to keep them separate.
Yeah. It's not an elegant solution, but it's the one that will probably work the best.
Absolutely.
Good luck.
That's the one. I'm all for inelegant as long as it works. So, anyway.
Exactly.
So,
exactly. You know.
I'm back around.
So sometimes
I'm back around if you want me to read or
that.
Whatever. So.
Great. Yeah. I think we've got two SoundClouds and the actual author herself of her poem and whatnot. So we're
perfect.
Pretty fortunate. I think you might have heard Laughing Soul once before. She's kind of new, but not. She's a very elegant writer.
Okay.
She favored us with a SoundCloud. She's got a lovely voice as well. So.
Definitely.
It's distracting to a point sometimes, but you know it's beautiful, and it definitely adds to the words.
Righto. Well, let's. I guess Deb's in charge, aren't you, Deb?
I put it up there. I just couldn't find a team of voices for a minute there, and there is
okay.
on the board as well. Hello, Laughing Soul.
I know. Hello.
She's all the way in India, so it's some ungodly hour in the morning, if I'm not mistaken, by her.
Right. Well, that's really cool.
It should
because
be
right
early
now,
in
night,
the
and AP's. What, mid-afternoon, and she's
yeah,
good
we're
morning.
About 1:30.
So.
She must be, what, about 8:30 in the morning or something? No, you probably I'll probably.
I think
anyway,
she's in Mumbai.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Even better.
But anyway, all right, if she's on the board, let's hit play on that one for her.
Rainy Night, a poem by Laughing Soul. On rainy night, when winds blow harsh, frogs croak berserk behind unkempt marsh. The darkest evening of the year is when I sit to sew my scars. Drizzle memories on my window pane, intoxicate like vintage champagne. The darkest evening of the year is when I sit to paint my pain. I hear cicadas make love tonight, kiss fireflies the misty moonlight. The darkest evening of the year is when my forsaken desires ignite. A bloom or jasmine on the bower, a mocking cuckoo sings to its lover. The darkest evening of the year is when my heart with art I cover. O fret not he who has no hand to hold, on rainy night when it gets too cold. Darkest evenings bring forth sunshine, a little faith, oh ye behold, a little faith, oh ye behold, and poem.
Wow, that was gorgeous. I want to say she changed tragedy to something a little different. There's a lot of hope in this. There's a lot of beauty in this as well. I really enjoy her imagery and the way that she reads it. She tells a beautiful story as well. You know, I like the hopefulness in what she's speaking about and the cicadas and everything. And I thought that was also clever. You worry about the cadence. And when she got to the part about the champagne, she worked the word vintage into it. That was a beautiful catch. and it made it all the more meaningful, I think. You know, just to fill out the number of syllables for the lines. But overall, you know, the construction of this is gorgeous. But I want to even say, you know, it almost has an all-time feel to it, the way that she chose a lot of the words. This is, you know, really, I won't say typical of all of her stuff, but, you know, it's something that I'm becoming used to when she writes. Gorgeous. If you get a chance to check her out, a lot of her stuff is along these lines, and just equally beautiful. AP, what'd you think?
Well, I do love the rhyming, and I love the flow. I think the, if I'm not mistaken, it's in the iambic pentameter, da dum da dum da dum, in eight syllable lines. And that's what gives it its sense of being old-fashioned, because it's written in in an old-fashioned type, sonnet-type structure, for want of a better word, except it's an AABA, not an AABB or an ABAB. So it's a rhyming poem, and it uses the standard, the darkest evening of the year line through each of the verses as its counterpoint. I love the read, because the read added to the use of the language in the poem, and had a very gentle and intoxicating feel to it, and I thought it came out very, very well.
Thank you very much. And Deb, can you comment for Laughing Soul?
Yeah, intoxicating. That's a good one. I was going to say mesmerizing. There's something in her voice when she reads that just draws you in. And I agree, definitely adds to the depth in the poem. And I liked all the wording throughout it, but I'm really taken by the stanza, drizzle memories on my window pane, intoxicate the vintage champagne. The darkest evening of the year is when I sit to paint my pain. There's just something about that stanza. It's quite brilliant, and especially drizzle memories on my window pane. I it's one of those, wow, I wish I thought of that, drizzle memories on my window pane. And if you look at the art that she wrote to and the blur in it from the rain and stuff, I mean, it's just, I really, mm-hmm. really, the wording is excellent. But one last time, I really love listening to her read. She just pulls me in. Great share.
Yeah. Yeah, there's something about that. I think the topic is one that's familiar to us as well, you know, and that lends to the melancholy of the rain and whatnot and the mood. You know, she's talking about holding hands, but you know, in the end, it's that last line, I think, that turns the whole thing just, you know, very hopeful and positive, as opposed to, you know, the ones, you know, drowning in the water and kicking the frogs and stuff, you know. Some of us tend to be overly dramatic because we're poets, right? She did a wonderful job with this. Great poem, Laughing Soul. Thank you for sharing tonight.
Sorry, Rack, I just appeared for a moment. I slipped into the green room to tackle Sweet Pea. Say hello.
Nah. Hello.
Hello.
I don't believe it's you.
It's me, I promise.
She's calling from a far off place, but she's really there.
Sounds like a train ride, you're not frozen, too.
Ah. Calling from like the hills of Wyoming.
But you got to check out with the
hills.
So does Sweet Pea, coincidentally.
Yes. What?
I do too, but they don't work.
Oh.
Oh, you're just full of them tonight, Rack.
Oh, you're funny. When isn't Rack full of something?
Yeah, well.
I bite my tongue.
I would be too.
Let me do that for you, sweetheart. No, just kidding. Just kidding.
Very nicely done.
See, that's why Deb won't come out for coffee with me.
I don't blame her.
Did I scare you off, Deb? I'm sorry.
No, no, I'm talking to Laughing Soul on the board. And behave yourself, will you?
No.
Behave yourself.
That's what's expected of me, isn't it?
Well, I'm sure you don't always do what's expected of you, but, like...
Oh, no, 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 no.
Whatever. Whatever.
I had one of those coffee mugs. It's a smile. It makes them wonder what you're up to.
That's right. That's what I always do.
So how are you tonight, sweetie?
I am here.
That's a good start.
That is a good start. I'm in beautiful Wyoming. It is what it is, and that's where I am. So I'm happy to be here.
Did you bring us a poem?
I'm looking at that right now.
Good thinking.
I think I have one here. Yeah. I think I might have one, but it's more tragedy than comedy.
Oh, that still fits.
Shocking.
You know.
I know, isn't it? I think it, you know, because, you know, I think tragedy, but it's about the game of life. But I'm not sure.
That was the initial thought when I put that up.
We'll try this one. How's that? Let me throw that up on the board for you.
Awesome.
You know, we'll see how this goes. I can do this. I'm smart enough to do this. Not even on my own lap, but we'll see how this goes. All right, so this is The Huntress. Blood mixes with egotistical hysteria, superior misconceptions, no upper hand advantage. Games that match players are all hunted. Belly crawl in the mud of self-preservation. Drink piss from the fountains of desperation. Bury the bones in the mouth of a dragon for salvation. Humans fought to win the game, take the fame. A red ant's nest killed one man as he rested. Another fell from the tree. Another spirit sent free. Knives against guns, weapons of mass destruction, useless in the hands of peaceful men with no intentions. Stained blood red in the hands of the huntress. Come to her, 1, 2, 3, men of war. Help the poor helpless maiden in distress. Pick her up in your big strong arms so she can slice your chest. Huntress feels her pride with every kill, celebrates. The Jimmy Choo's in the shining dress, dances and prances, toying with all the boys, wondering whose heart she'll eat next. And boom.
Damn. Talk about reaping what you sow. I mean, it sounds like this huntress has been neglected a little bit. I like pick her up in your big strong arms so she could slice your chest. That's just so apropos. It's like, you know, yeah, chivalry's dead, and I killed it.
Comedy, tragedy, depends on where you look at it.
Exactly. I mean, you always do a wonderful job. I won't call it opposing views, but dressing up something in a manner that's very pleasing. You probably were a food stylist in another life or something like that, you know. I get visions of you being able to take something that's totally inedible and making it look like everyone wants to dive into it. I don't know why, but the fire ants were gorgeous too. I love that imagery. I mean, this whole thing, the idea of the huntress, you know, it's very stereotypical of us pounding our chests and running around and wanting to be, you know, the caveman type and you know, being put in our place. Wonderful, right? Sweet. AP, what did you think?
Well, I sort of had the vision of the spider, really, Rack, you know, because spiders, female spiders are well known for basically dispatching every male who comes anywhere near them. And it sort of had that real sort of sense of scale and scope and, you know, put your head anywhere near me and I'll just chop the bloody thing off. And so, I was drawn to spiders and mandibles, and I don't know why, but I was, except, I mean, of course, spiders don't wear Jimmy Choo's, and if they did, it'd be really expensive because they've got so many bloody legs.
Oh, but they could have four different pairs.
They could. I know. I was going there, but it wouldn't be cheap.
Well, that's why he said it would be
expensive. I mean, I guess you've got a lot of gold and shit, so you probably could wear four pairs of Jimmy Choo's. It fits. If the shoe fits.
Yes.
Oh, no. Well done.
Oh.
If the shoe fits. And Deb, can you give a comment to Sweet?
Oh, Sweet. I'm like stuck in the second stanza with my chin bruised with a whack. Oh, my goodness. Belly crawl in the mud of self-preservation. Drink piss from the fountains of desperation. Bury the bones in the mouth of the dragon for salvation. For Sweet, when you rhyme, you really use some very interesting rhymes and amazing, dark, creepy, disgusting images. That comes from your brilliance.
Why, thank you.
I all hail the queen of darkness, no doubt. And then down further, knives against guns, weapons of mass destruction, useless in the hand of peaceful men with no intentions, stained, blood red in the hands of the huntress. Really vicious. And like, some... thing tells me that at that particular moment when you were writing, that huntress was you, and I don't want to be whoever was in your mind when you were talking about some of the images here. You're badass.
Yeah, that verse you were just talking about, Deb, with the weapons of mass destruction in the hands of however she put it, that someone that wouldn't use it, it almost brings to mind the idea of someone that, what's the word? The word milquetoast comes to mind, but you're describing it better than that. So someone, damn it. Oh, God. What the hell is the word?
I don't know, but don't you hate when that happens?
I do.
My vocabulary is going out the window, and I know you guys know this word too, because it's when you browbeat a guy and they're just, you know, they can't open their mouth. Oh God. Anyway,
I call that husband. Just kidding.
sweet. Well, the good news is, Rack, at least we didn't have the hiss and kiss rhyme scheme.
Beautiful job, CP. All right. Did you have another poem you wanted to read, AP?
I can always find one if you'd like. Rack, what's the poem? The poem would you like? You tell me. You steer me. What would you like? I can.
Well,
comedy or tragedy.
Yeah. And in the meantime, Deb, if you want to put yours up, we can do yours next if you want.
Good idea.
If we must, I'll grab it.
We must.
I mean, the other one I've got is a two. Sorry, Deb.
Whipped was the word I was thinking of.
Well, I want. But you know, I was thinking when I was reading the quote that each one of those examples are hard enough, but how about if you're getting hit with both of them at the same time, the chaos in your brain, you know what I mean? Like you do find things comedic, and you sit there and you think, oh, unreal, and you shake your head. Or you find it a little bit funny, and then the tragedy of it actually hits you, and you feel bad, and there's all this chaos in your brain. So it was just like I went back and forth. I couldn't decide which way to go, so I went with this little ditty here. So I put it on the board.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is called
Chaos Inside Those That Think. And I wrote, and fell, but that should say think and feel. I swore I fixed that. Anyhow, see the chicken that's not crossing the road? He runs down the sidewalk and then smack. Face planting on the trip, then crash landing, splitting his thick skull with an echoed crack. Then the man that sees him rolls on the floor, laughing loud and grunting like a giant yak. But she spots the bloody scene, then cringes. I see them all and then go home, not looking back, because that's when the drama just sets me out of whack. End poem.
Yeah, that's a great example of the quote. I was going to say, as you were describing it in the beginning, you know, it sounded very much like the slapstick comedy when someone falls and you got the one person laughing their heads off and the other one's real. But you know, aren't you worried that they got hurt? You know, and there is that duality of the situation, like the way that you so beautifully described it. You know, of course, you gave us a chicken crossing the road, which was kind of clever too. You know, you didn't have to incorporate human beings, and that's appreciated because no targets, no one can blame you for picking on anyone. You know,
I stopped worried about that.
Colonel Sanders, damn it!
Right? Yeah, I'm sure he's reading poems and wondering why I'm poking him. So like,
are you picking on his chicken?
Finger licking good, bud.
Oh goodness! That idea, the tragedy and sympathy, that the whole point of view of something like that is what, you know, drew me to that quote to begin with, and you know, afterwards, you know, I realized it kind of hard to write to, and especially with no backing, you know, descriptions or anything like that. I really didn't do much to try and inspire anyone to write to the quote other than just offer it up and say, you know, let's see where to take it. So, you know, but,
I think that the quote was awesome, but I agree it's really hard to write to for some reason. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think, well, the Gemini in me took over, and I first couldn't decide which way to go, whether to go with the thinker or the feeler. But, like, I'm both. So I just couldn't get my muse to cooperate. So I went weird and silly. Or to use one of AP's words, you got to go quirky now and then.
No, I like that. Absolutely.
Yeah, when I first heard the quote, the first thought that I had was exactly what you said, you know. Why does it have to be one or the other, you know? But anyway, Sweetie, what did you think of Deb's chicken?
Oh, I loved it. I loved the fact that you could laugh at it and not be so judgy. I thought it was fun and free and that you could walk away and just be happy at the expense of others, because nowadays you just can't do that. When somebody falls flat on your face, you're not allowed to laugh because it's somehow not PC, but I think it's funny as all hell. And by laughing, you'd be judged, and I think we don't do enough of that. So I like that you wrote that way. Free and funny and walk away. I love
it. It was poultry in motion.
Yes, poultry and
beautiful.
Thanks, sweet. No, you're good. Every time I hear it all that often now that my parents are gone, but I can imagine hearing poultry in motion now when poetry in motion comes on. Thanks, Rack.
And Rack, anytime you're ready, Rack, I have comedy. I don't write it often, but I do have one.
Awesome. AP, can you comment for Deb?
Well, I think, firstly, it is a Rhode Island red, and I have a matching poem up on the board for you, Rack. I liked this. I liked the idea that we've actually got somebody, you know, who's in trouble because of a chicken, and particularly because they crossed the road. And so I think that well-deserving. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Well, let's take advantage of Sweepy now.
What?
Hey, watch it.
What are you taking advantage of me for?
Rack?
I'm sorry?
AP has his stuff on.
Can I squeeze my feathered chicken poem in?
Yes.
And Rhodes. I've been of the perception that chicken has received the starring role in this intersection. There it is, happily traipsing on the road as if in a Cyndi Lauper song. Why are we not in the least bit concerned of the other party, the road? It just gets trodden on by sharp-wearing chicken feet. If we took the road moving rather than the chicken, then an outcome distinctly different. Say, a road, Island Red, in poem.
That was clever. That was clever. You're a punny guy, AP.
Thank you very much.
That's awesome. Yes. Oh, sophisticated play on words, my friend. Oh.
Thank you very much. We've all set up for the one pun, but, you know, it's something short.
It is, happily traipsing on the road as if in the Cyndi Lauper song. I was cracking up.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You crack up. Now, that song will be stuck in my head, but there'll be a chicken through it. Oh, my goodness.
Because you can just see the damn chicken. That's the whole problem.
Yeah.
I know, right? And she's... Threatened
yeah,
to
yeah.
Girls just
want to
have fun.
Yeah. Across the freaking road. It's a Rhode Island red.
Birds just want to have
fun.
That's it. Except I end up. Well, anyway, that's it. It's just, you know.
Well,
God.
That was brilliant.
Somehow I want to work in the word spazcock, but that ain't going to happen.
Well,
you just did.
When you roast the chicken and you cut it to lie flat on the board, that's what that's called. But unfortunately, there's no way to work that into the conversation other than to just non sequitur and
just do it
outright.
You just did it. Say, what did you just did?
Spatchcock. Or I'm sorry, spatchcock. I'm mispronouncing it. Spatchcock.
I thought you think you should say that for Sunday night.
No, it's not that kind of punk. Besides, we're talking about chickens. Cock is an acceptable term.
Rachel Ray likes to throw out that word. Just saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All righty then.
She's
I
not
love Laughing Soul's comment. I love Laughing Soul. Laughing Soul, you're cracking me up. Cows, and today it's chickens.
Oh, God, Cow and Chicken. I hate that cartoon. That cartoon is horrible.
Cows and Chicken.
Cow and Chicken, yes.
Cow and Chicken.
Yeah.
Sometimes she visits and we're doing cows and chickens.
Oh,
I do a good rock. Anyway,
Did Kay give us a SoundCloud?
Guacamole.
My Tommy's up there.
Excellent.
Sweet's going to make us laugh.
Ready to
scared of her comedy, though.
I'm going
to
try. Yeah, it's my lovely lady. I don't know why I wrote this poem, but I did.
Good.
Good. I was at a dance by chance. I met a pretty lady. Well, maybe not a lady, because I was sure I could get lucky with this one. With a big dose of flattery and a little bit of liquor, my charm worked quicker. Out of that dance hall we went. She sure was a pretty one, and I knew I was special. As she took my arm and we walked through the doors of the Ritz, lucky twice in one night, the credit card was approved, and off to room 40 we went. She started to giggle. I asked, "Hey there, dame, what's with the wiggle?" She quickly proclaimed, 50 was happening soon. Since I was way past the hill, I proceeded at will to engage in the game we were in. As soon as the door closes, she smiles and proposes. I watched you get ready to sin. To my dying day, I regret I said yes as I watched this horror movie begin. First, she whipped off her wig. No hair was not blonde, it was skin. Then out came her teeth, first the top, then the bottom, plopped them in water. It looked like something swallowed her lips. She pulled off her eyelashes, pulled off her eyelashes, her eyebrows. Out came her contacts. She started to squint. I braced myself, even cried a bit, but it was I that invited her in. So I bravely stayed on while she finished the show. I thought I smelled cutlets, and like magic, she pulled out chicken out of her breast. I swore I smelled tuna. I swore if I smelled tuna, I was out of this mess. When she wrapped her arms around the bedpost, I cringed. I might have stayed even after she took off her left leg and threw it over her shoulder. But I had to go. I did what I could, but I ran like you would when she started licking the bedpost and screamed, "I love the taste of your wood."
Oh. Impressed. I thought you were way too shy to do something like this.
The best I have, the best humor I have. And I can hardly read it because I don't have my glasses on, so sorry for the bad read.
It was a fantastic read, and I appreciated the puns galore. Oh, man.
There you go. My comedy.
She took off her leg, huh? I'm biting my tongue over here. Deb, what'd you think of Sweet's poem?
Well, I think that my sweet insanity is showing just a little bit in this, right? But I love her anyway. And I think the standard that starts out, I braced myself, even cried a bit, had me cracking up. It all had me cracking up. You're really nuts, sweet. But I think it was I that invited her in, bravely stayed on while she finished her show. Where'd the tuna go? Okay, there. I swore if I smelled tuna, I was out of this mess. I thought I was going to fall off the sofa. Sweet, your sanity is in question right this minute. Really.
Well, I had chicken in it. I found chickens. What do you want?
Right, well,
AP.
There's an approach I bet he wasn't thinking of when he was hearing the other chicken poems. Crazy.
No.
I actually went to a happy place when I went through this poem because, of course, I went to Monty Python and the Black Knight scene where the Black Knight basically gets dispatched by the king, and it is but a flesh wound. I've had worse.
That's it.
Yes.
It's just a flesh wound.
I went there. And in going there, I actually now know, and I didn't before I actually 5 minutes ago, that there were two actors that played the person who was the knight because they found that John Cleese couldn't actually balance on one leg. So they actually got a one-legged guy from down the road, and he played the one-legged knight while he was standing up and, you know, taking flesh wounds, and then they got John Cleese back when he lost the other leg. So it did. It took me to a happy place, right? And for that, I'm very, very happy. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. That was a long time ago. I've learned to write a little better than that now. Oh.
let's do a 180 and put Pretty Bird's poem up.
We can do that.
On it, be there in a moment, uno momento, right under the sexy cowgirl on the board. There we go. And I'm hustling over to the studio. Do you?
Very amusing.
The cow.
Yes.
Okay, do you guys see Pretty Verse poem?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Relentless is Lady Misery, always looking to share time, by Pretty Bird. Enter at your own risk. Consider yourself warned. There is nothing here you haven't seen before. A little bit of unseen noise, a lot of stabbing sound, incessant flashes of brutality, bleeding mental acuity, and epileptic responses. Enjoy the ride, slipping down the slope of self-destruction and reconstruction of yesterday's and tomorrow's responses of today's reactionary regret. Take a deep breath. Try not to choke on the stench of regurgitated emotions where each rewind wears down the edges to frayed remnants that bear the weight of 1,000 knives. Strobe light slideshow peeling senses honed to nothing but the rot of old emotion and the blurred visions that blow in a mist of shadows, the only remembrance of light. The cracks in the floor swallow you whole. Careful where you step, lest your bones crack in kind. Whipped words flay flesh in never-ending ripping that sounds like sex and smells like... What exactly is that? A mix of unwashed whore and dead cat? Breathe deep and remember. Remember the days where the stars shone in warm light. Remember the sounds of belly laughs and pray hard that it's enough to carry you home. It's the only way to leave this place. Shadows creep into thoughts. Ever so slowly, deliberately, fading that silver once found in clouds, tarnishing truth with perception, misconception, and lies, but lies lie lying around, so where does that leave truth? Claw your eyes clean of vision and see where you should be or go. No, you will see only where you have been, where hope meets pain and doubt. That is the smell, the putrid air that is the death of dreams dreamt. Your time here is eternal. Curiosity never killed a soul. But if you learn how to mind your own damn business, you would never have come here. I will trade you my pain for a memory while they're still untainted. Ah, but that was the price of admission, wasn't it? Enjoy purgatory, endless as it is. Keep praying. I'm sure it will work like those jeweled slippers. Click 3 times and amplify the sounds that haunt your broken psyche. I must leave you now. I hope it was all you had wished to find in the company of misery.
Wow. I love the way she writes. Oh, man. From the beginning, she had me. But when she got to the line about the clouds and oh, the couple of verses above that with the dead whore, and I mean, and she manages to make it cohesive and follow a clear train of thought. She's just incredible. I really enjoy the way that she puts her stuff together, and then you know reads it so matter of factly, like you know this is the way it is. And, you know, it just wonderfully done. Sweet, what'd you think?
Let's see. Remember the days of belly laughs. I just have to go back and find that stanza because that's one of my favorites.
Yeah, that was the dead door line.
Yeah, that's fabulous. And then I love the end. Keep praying, I'm sure it will work like those jeweled slippers, click 3 times and amplify the sounds that haunt your broken psyche. I love anytime you can bring in a fairy tale and have that imagery of, oh yeah, it's going to take me home and everything. And she just totally like stabs you in the heart with it. Like, yeah, okay, sure. You go ahead and try that because it's not going to work. You're still just broken down piece of whatever. And I'm just going to go ahead and leave you now and leave you in your own lovely company of misery. Bye-bye. And that's just pretty good. And it's just beautiful. And she's just perfect with it. It's a brilliant poem, brilliant write. And it speaks to, you know, misery and everything that you can, just reaping with, you know, the sarcasm of joy in it.
Excellent comment. Hey, P, can you follow that?
Well, it sort of reminded me of a dessert, this poem, Rack. It sort of reminded me of the old-fashioned Australian pavlova, where you've got this sort of sweet meringue and you've got the cream, and then the words are sort of the fruit that you put on top of it. And interestingly enough, the words themselves are sweet, but compared to the pavlova, they're sort of sour because the pavlova is so sweet. And so you get this sort of contrast of the words with the base of the whole thing. And so I was reminded of the pavlova with fruit.
Great comment. Agrodolce in Italian, the sweet and sour.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. Great observation, great thought. Debs.
Yeah, well, I agree with you on that matter-of-fact way she was reading. I think that it was that just stood out. And I specifically remember this one because I was totally blown away for a couple of different reasons. For one, of course, every single word, every stanza, and I started to try and pick a favorite, and I couldn't. And by the time I got to the end, I just turned around and I said to her, just going to give you a stanza and save this, and I got like 3 sets of clapping hands, and I did. It's on my favorites list because not only is this excellent and impressive, and I noticed that it was also something that she got a gold for, and it's not surprising at all because the poem is excellent. But the thing is that this was a contest for Rex and Pam, and Pam is a tough-ass judge. So kudos to Pretty Bird for getting a gold out of her, just saying. But, yeah, no, this was one of the ones I thought was one of her absolute best at the time. Now, of course, she's beyond dazzled us with other stuff since then, but this is a hell of
this is excellent, Pretty Bird. Thank you. I think we could put Kay up next. She gave us a SoundCloud too, right?
She sure did. And yes, we can. I'm grabbing that now. Okay, and I'm on my way to a team of voices. Oh, and here's our new trend. The old trend was chicken. Now the trend is let me share a gold-winning poem, because Kay won a gold on this poem as well. So, there it is. And I'm on my way back to the studio. Okay. Here we go.
In Absentia by Kay. Hibiscus Bracken caresses a milk of flesh. A moonlit twirl won't happen earth well behavedly. Raindrops jasmine the crimson circuit of barren fields. Fresh linen draped on the line in the wake of unhampered back velvet. A coil in platinum rusts betwixt and between whiskey strides. Clementines of granite. Corroded root clipping accelerates. Opposition of candor crops denominations. Formalities of graciousness undertakes. Crest in the carpeted upon naked feet, drawn a veil over consignments. Upon the porcelain throat, ribbons of rock-salted trinkets, leaving a regimental banner, photos of a haze and shadows taken no notice of. End poem.
Wow. Talk about a change in mood. This is dark. I like this, Kay. I don't know where to begin. Sweet, what'd you think?
This is one of my favorites of Kay's, and the language is just haunting. It invites one's mind to wonder, like, what one is willing to give or take in life. One of my favorite lines in here is, now I got to find it. Raindrops jasmine the crimson circuit of barren fields, fresh linen draped on the line in the wake of unhampered back velding. I love that, and where's the other one? Got to find the one around where it talks about wrapping something around her neck. Upon the porcelain throat, ribbons of rock, salt, and trinkets, weaving a regiment banner. Ribbons of rock, salted trinkets upon a porcelain throat. I mean, that just is, you know, just think of that cutting into a porcelain throat, and that imagery just kind of stays with you. I really like the darkness, and it to go with that picture too, that picture is stunning.
Yeah, it's really a striking poem. Deb, what'd you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree, and I noticed there that it's on quite a few lists. There's something about this, and on a side note, because it's driving me crazy, with just the repositioning of a couple of those words, I'm seeing this boudoir lamp that she could have sitting on the vanity. I can't help myself, I'm sorry. But anyway, I liked it, sights and sounds, the journey that she takes us on. Caressing the milk of flesh, a moonlit twirl of the one tapping the earth, well-behavedly sounds like an old-fashioned word, so it brought like a different era type of feel to it. And then the raindrops, jasmine, the crimson, so I mean, it's just, got great visuals. It's got a treat for the senses. And then towards the end there, upon the porcelain throat, ribbons of rock salt, like Sweet had already pointed out, but it bears repeating. There's something about that. Upon the porcelain throat, ribbons of rock salted trinkets, weaving mental banner.
Mm-hmm.
Holy cow. That's amazing. Another, I say it a lot, but it's because, you know, that she's an excellent abstract poet.
She does. She's got a lot of stunning visual on that. I like the whiskey line, too. Hey, P, what'd you think?
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting. The reason for that is because, as Deb said, as an abstract poet, the piece sort of starts and then it sort of trails off as if it's sort of like a, you know, just a piece of paper flying in the wind. And it's not like a regular poem that sort of starts and then presents itself and then says, here I am, and then finishes. It's like you're looking at. And it does that remarkably well, and because of the juxtaposition of words in an interesting way. And mm-hmm. So it's a fascinating poem that sort of isn't a poem. It's more like, you know, a piece of paper fluttering on the wind.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a good description of it. I don't know. A couple minutes ago on the board, I think Sol put up a second poem.
Yeah, something about guacamole.
On guacamole. Yep.
Yeah. Did obviously you didn't have a chance to load it. She even gave us an audio for it, right?
No audio for it, but
I don't. Yeah, it's a brevity though.
We can read it though, Brad, if you'd like.
What do you think, Deb?
Seems fine.
You want to go for it? The guacamole poem?
I can read it, right?
I found the link. I'm trying to copy it. Oh, it's on the board already, isn't it? Well, now I got it.
Yeah,
it
is. Yep.
Ready? How's the group?
Okie doke. Okay, back
I'm sorry,
up in front of the board again. You happy for me to read?
There you go.
Yeah.
I'll be right back.
This is Guacamole by Laughing Soul. It goes a little bit like this. When life served me guacamole, I gulped it down with champagne rosé. My Indian buds go numb with no thrill, yet I know I tried dressing up my guacamole. They say you need to spice up love was a vintage rollie. End poem.
All right.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. That was clever. I enjoyed it. Food porn.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, I'm never going to look at avocados the same way. Dressing up like guacamole.
Oh.
I'm going to be looking for the pit for the rest of the evening.
Oh, my God. They're poisonous, so be careful. Don't feed them to the dog.
I can bring corn chips.
Ooh.
Oh, yummy. Now don't start talking about guacamole.
No. Now we're on a completely different table.
I know.
Yeah, I
want guacamole chips. Dang it.
I think everything got read but mine, I think.
Well, you better do yours.
There's still plenty of time.
Okay.
I think we've got almost 20 minutes at least.
Okay. Cool.
Mine is quick. I almost want to wait for Deb to come back, but I don't know if she's going to.
Well, that's okay. Brad, don't panic because...
She's absolutely going to. I'm just not away. Sorry, I just can't play or anything. I'll be right back.
No, that's okay.
Okay.
I do have a poem. I do have a poem, Rack, if you would like. And it is longer because it was written for a contest that needed where you needed to use 222 words, and I had an eight-word joke. I had an eight-word joke, and I had to use 222 words. And so I'm just warning you that there's a lot of filler here. So if you want to do yours first, you can. Or if you want to finish with yours, you can.
I have words.
No, we could do yours first.
Okay, righto. Well, I'll put it up. And you'll be glad to know that it does go back to the theme of the chicken.
Chicken!
It does go back
chicken.
To the theme of the chicken. And it introduces a new element, which, of course, is the duck. And, controversially, it is entitled, There was once a chicken and a duck. I'm not good at great headings, am I? And it goes a little bit like this. There was once a duck who was speaking to a chicken as they sat in a tree. You know, they've planted onion and potato down there, said the chicken. Really? Said the duck. Well, I never. Just last week, they harvested a cucumber. They've been busy. Must be this late summer humidity we're having. Yes, well, I wish it would stop. Already I'm getting feather rot in uncomfortable places. Don't worry about that, chimed Rhode Island Red. This inclement weather will clear soon enough with the rains. Did you hear they're talking about pulling up this grove of orange trees we're roosting in? No, really. Now, that would be a disaster. How would we see the horizon and day ahead? I agree, said the bird, its beak curling and extending at the sound. Clouds began jostling ominously in the skies above as I sat watching. You know, I recall my duck mother told me once to avoid trees during storms. Oh, don't worry. Those clouds cannot hit an elephant at that. Suddenly there was an enormous shudder as their tree was cleaved in half, direct hit by lightning, splitting its trunk and charring all nearby. Well, the moral of this story is clear. Don't be chicken. Listen next to a peeking duck. End point.
Wow.
I like peeking duck, too.
Thank you.
Very clever. Very clever. Oh, my goodness.
That was brilliant, AP. That was brilliant.
I went back to the chicken.
Yes, you went back to the chicken.
And my favorite Civil War story, General John Sedgwick, who famously said, couldn't hit an elephant at that dist. True story.
Hey, Sweepy, why did the duck cross the road?
I don't know.
It was the chicken's day off.
Of course. Of course it is. Of course.
There you go.
Why not?
So, many more chicken poems, Rack, but I think we had a good sort of, you know, few drumsticks of them.
No.
Anyway, so there you go.
I don't have any chicken poems.
I don't think I have any chicken poems.
Oh, no, I do a good run of chicken poems. Good run of chicken poems, you know. So, there you go.
I'm back. We got that.
Plus them from the catalogs.
I got a gibberish poem.
A gibberish poem?
Really?
Mm, a gibberish.
That's cute.
Well, my poem's going to kill the moon, so do yours.
Well, okay. Why are you going to kill the mood, Rat?
You just forgot another one.
Because tragedy was one of the
elements.
Well, I'm trying to stay away from my tragedies. I have enough tragedies, so I'm going with the humor.
Good thinking. Hey, that looks like Dr.
Yeah.
Seuss.
It is a Dr. Seuss. It was my challenge to write as Dr. Seuss, so. The Life of Rhyme. Which I don't do, but it was a challenge, so I did. Jaggernauts or gibberish speak to me on galaxies and hyperspeed. Aquamarine tails tell bluefin whale grace on seafood weed. The bunny said that bumblebees eat hummingbirds, or did he say blue jays eat black ants, tiny turds? Skies are blue and fires are red and smoke is black, or is smoke gray or white or green? I've gone off track. Flowers come in all kinds of colors, yellow, greens, and blues. Monkeys, elephants, and peacocks all hang out at the zoo. Oh my, this poem has gone zangy, bing, bonk, bang, and dong. It isn't written in prose, a meter, a sonnet, or song. Words are strung together, the stanzas are goosey loose. Silly poet, this isn't freestyle, and you ain't no Dr. Seuss. End poem.
Oh, that was excellent. And you said the other one was your best attempt at humor. That was great.
There you go. My gibberish.
That's awesome. What did you think, JP?
Oh, I really liked it. I like the blue jays eat black ants, tiny turds. I really like that. And the only, if I could make one suggestion, I just love the idea that monkeys, elephants, and peacocks all hang out with a kazoo rather than at the zoo.
Oh, I like that.
Because zoo's sort of obvious. But I think if they sort of hung out with a kazoo, it sort of, you know, gives it a bit of sort of zen. If it had kazoo rather than zoo, I'm really happy.
I like that suggestion a lot, EP. I really do.
Learn to play the kazoo.
Yeah, wherever it goes. I like the whole idea that zoo's just sort of, you know, it's a zoo. A kazoo
comically.
Is just like, it's got a zing to it. Anyway, there you go. I was just hoping
that
it had a kazoo.
Got it. Like it.
You back with us, Deb?
I am.
What'd you think of Sleepy's Dr.
Cool. I'm glad she went and got it. Our sweet potato pie Seuss. Oh my, this poem has going zany, bing, bong, bang, a dong, bing, bonk. I can't even say it. Bing, bonk, bang, a dong. It isn't written in prose, a meter, a sonnet, or song. Words are strung together, the stanzas are gooey loose. Silly poet, this isn't freestyle, and you ain't no Dr. Seuss. I love, 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 love the ending. This is great.
Yeah.
Really good.
Thank you. All right, I guess we could close out with my lame.
I have a request, though. Last night, there was this really unexpected poem from Gerald with an amazing ending. So I thought we could play that before we do that, if you don't mind.
If we have permission, I don't mind.
Yeah. And I think you guys would get a kick out of it. And I mean, okay, this man wrote to a quote by Walt Disney, and the quote is, all our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them. So trust me, I was not expecting what he brought, and it was very impressive. So here we go. Have a listen.
History's greatest written and read by Gerald Green. Epigraph. All our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them. Walt Disney. Poem. The greatest picture ever taken was the challenge given by the old professor, or credentials won't be issued, and he would not graduate. For months he struggled with a strange assignment, wrestled with ideas. Years went by until, before the deadline, a solution came to mind. The perfect picture must contain what represents accomplishments of all the human race has done. Let it come together as a symbol and a classic piece of art. He found a table made of cherry by a craftsman unsurpassed in all of history in a mansion in Berlin. It was there he could assemble and compose plus grande image. He must have books in different languages, 8 in all, from mathematics to biology, displayed with music from a master. A half-filled hourglass, some jewelry, a testament and sash of death complete the scene, except for one remaining feature to be found. The angles of the colored composition guide the eye to contemplate a happy human skull with shiny teeth. It must have perfect teeth. The university's deadline stood before him, and he knew not what to do. But driven by the weight of desperation, he devised a simple and courageous plan. His wife became the composition's victim, and he loved the picture even more. He celebrated how he honored her eternally in the greatest picture ever made. End poem.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He wrote that to a Disney quote.
Wow. Yeah, that was a little unexpected there. Dark Disney. If that was in a contest, I hope he got a medal. That was really, really cool.
Yeah, I thought you might like that. It wasn't for a contest. It was just he chose that photo, and then
Disney
he chose
that
prompt for my show last night. And he does bring the unexpected at the end quite often. But this was just like, wait, I was just so taken between the fact that he wrote about a Disney quote. And where was the part? There was something about, and guide the eye to contemplate a happy human skull with shiny teeth. A happy human skull. Now think about that. I think that he had a little bit too much fun with this one. And by the time he got to the end, where his wife was the new model per se. I was cracking up. Great picture, though. You liked it even more. That's sad. Eternally yours, baby.
I was going to say it was flattering that you know, he said that she had perfect teeth, right? He said the skull had to have perfect teeth.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, this is great. I mean, this is dark and creepy, and, oh, I like it. And then
right
the fact that he could drag, you know, everybody gave me crap about dragging Will Rogers into the dark. I'm glad that somebody dragged Disney right into the dark with me. So, partners in crime there, this is just brilliant. Yeah, bring the wife in and make her the pretty skeleton. Yeah, I really like it. And he honored her, you know, forever. She's now honored, you know, perfectly, beautifully. I don't know why people have a problem with that. Honor is honor, right?
Yeah. Well, what'd you think, AP?
Well, Jared's a very elegant writer, and I have to send him a response. He writes a lovely comment because I invited him onto our show, and he said it's far, far, far too late. So
he's far, far, far too asleep by the time it comes around. But he takes it upon himself to write a poem most days, and he loves a good prompt, and it's what he loves doing. He writes, and in this particular instance, it's beautifully dark because it's so sort of happenstance, in a way. Oh. You know, this person just sort of goes and dispatches somebody and puts them into this image because they're going to fit really well, and it's done beautifully. And the fact that you know that this person has just gone and drawn, caught and killed, and just taken off their skull and put it into a sort of little sort of display case is sort of secondary to the fact that it just sort of happened, and that's the brilliance of the darkness.
I think the brilliance is that, you know, he did it to meet a deadline.
Yes.
Deb, you brought it. Did you want to comment, or did you already write him one?
I did make a big fuss over it last night, and I said, this is amazing, and you had us cracking up. I said, oh, only you could do this to a Disney quote. And a couple of times I've told him he was insane. I should have maybe included that, but he said sacrilegious me. So anyway, I did find myself debating if someone should tell his wife to read the poem, though. Just saying.
Do we have any shows to push? Sweet Pea's up on Thursday. I know that much.
Yes, I am. Yes, open your mouth and read.
No, go ahead, Sweet. I'm sorry.
It's open your mouth and read. Open poetry.
Okay. Do we have anything else on the schedule, Deb?
Tomorrow night is open poetry with Wolf Spirit and Hatter, which usually turns out to be more of the two of them. And I have a feeling that after the news from today that there might be some Rolling Stone stuff going on. So, you know.
Why, what happened today with the Stones?
I'm sorry?
What happened with the Stones today?
Marley,
I've been on the road.
Charlie Watts died today, the drummer.
Oh,
I did not know.
He's been sick for a while, but he passed away today, 80 years old. And they've actually been playing Stones. When I went and got my second shot, all the way there and all the way back, the DJ only played Stones. Anyway, I have a feeling that the conversation will probably entail a lot of Stones.
Yeah.
And then the heck is going on Friday? Oh, Friday's the Man Cave, Stephen and Hatter. And the topic is ghosts. And Saturday is vanilla. So there's the next handful of
vanilla. Vanilla.
You can do it. You
that
know you
be
want
a
to.
Topic.
Huh?
Vanilla.
Vanilla, and I'm part of the collab on that night, aren't I?
Yeah, you have the one for you and Sky. I need your lines, and I got a bug Hatter because he and Sky both sent me their lines for their individual collabs. I just need their partners to get some back to me.
Moving.
But in the meantime, Rack, I put yours on the board.
All right.
Tell me when to push. Okay. Let me push play. Rack. Here it is.
Pleading Eyes by Raconteur. Seduced by the sunrise, pondering where I'm going. mesmerized by the moonlight, reflecting on where I've been, aching to know acceptance, struggling with challenges I can't hope to win, clinging to figments of my imagination, little more than pixels on a screen, losing my grip on reality, trapped within the cracks I've fallen between. The world has me under a microscope. Still nobody sees me for who I am. I wear my emotions on my sleeve, yet even the people that know me don't seem to understand. Seemingly all I do is lament about the time that I've spent chasing a dream I can't seem to fulfill, perpetrating the theft of any time I have left, ensuring I never will. The essence of who I am left behind on the page, manufacturing hallucinations of a familiar stranger, hyperbole wrapped in metaphor, concealing my weaknesses from danger, aspiring to be a sonnet, achieving only a brevity. My soliloquy solicits star-studded skies, offering the manifestation of everything reflected there, falling endlessly from my pleading eyes. End poem.
Oh. Oh.
Right? This hurt knocker kills us. Right? Man. The one part gets you in the gut. The world has me under a microscope. Still nobody ever sees me for who I am. I wear my emotions on my sleeve, yet even the people that know me don't seem to understand. I could feel every word of that. That was like, holy. This, I think one of my favorites, even though it's from the Hurt Locker, because it's so potent, aspiring to be a sonnet, achieving only a brevity. Oh, my goodness, you're killing me here. And the end, offering the manifestation of everything reflected there, falling endlessly from my pleading eye. I practically want to cry. Your Hurt Locker's a very, very powerful thing, Mac. Sweet.
You know, if this was a mirror, I would see my face. I mean, the language is so vivid and raw, powerful, and just literally stabs you and rips you up from the middle. I think this is brilliant, and I'm like, Deb, this is like top-notch favorite on my list right now from you. This is beyond the Hurt Locker. This is more like, I don't even have a word for it, but hurt seems so minuscule to call this. It's just raw and beautiful.
Thanks, sweet.
And AP?
I really like the fourth stanza, and I really like the fourth stanza because you've gone with a AAB, CCB rhyme pattern into a rhythm that really works beautifully. It just has lovely flow, and the words do their job in terms of the meaning, but I love the flow. So that's my favorite. I know all the other stuff's clever, but I love stanza four.
Thanks, AP. Well, I guess that's the end of the evening.
It is.
I'd like to thank everybody that wrote for me, Sweet P, Deb, AP, for calling in and hanging out, Pretty Bird for giving us a SoundCloud, Gerald, even though he wasn't expecting it, for contributing, and Laughing Soul, and Kay. And I think I managed to actually name everybody and not leave anybody out for a change. That's the benefit of an intimate show, I guess. I'm sorry, what about who?
I said, well done you.
Oh, yeah. I'm always afraid. Every time I try, it's like you always end up leaving someone out. Or, you know, anyway.
You got to.
You know, extra special thanks to Deb for, you know, helping me out on the board because, you know, I can't see well enough to do it on my own, even though I kind of know how. you know, answering the phones and making sure nothing fell through the cracks and running the board and letting me just stand up front and kind of look pretty. And of course, for making all this possible, you know, I got the entire Team of Voices board here, I think, right? I guess Hatter's missing. I hope he's doing all right. A shout out to Hatter, even though he didn't write tonight. You know, I hope he's doing okay. He's always in our thoughts as well. And, you know, he managed to worm his way in with the opening song to begin with anyway. So he's always here.
That's
true. I really appreciate everything, Deb, the chance to do this and to hang out and spend time together and talk smack about poetry and nonsense and goof around. It helps. It helps more than you know, you know. But like I've mentioned in the past, for me, this is kind of therapy. So any chance I get to put the words on the page and get them off my chest, that makes me happy. So we'll slap our gloves and we'll flow. See you guys again next time.
Night.
Thank
Thanks
you.
Well,
have a good one.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Night.
Love and respect.
Love and respect.
Thank you
for using
Blog Talk Radio.
Good night.